Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Why would a veteran actor literally work for free? Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is August 10th, 2013. We're on day two of our entertainment profile. Dennis Quaid, Rookie No More. And Dennis Quaid is a veteran actor in Hollywood. I know many of our listeners and readers have seen him in movies. He's actually performed in 77 films over his 35-year career in Hollywood. And so you've probably seen him. He's one of those guys that you would say, oh, yeah, I know who he is. He's
not if you're a lady in your 50s. You know who he is, Bill.
He's one of those guys that you'd recognize, but you can't remember the name. So, but and he's interesting in that he's had his ups and downs, and I really think he's an interesting example for us to examine, because I think we get this image of the Hollywood star that life is perfect. And if anything, Dennis Quaid, like many of his movies, it's almost like life imitating art. His life is not perfect, and he's had his ups and downs, which we'll talk about in our discussion today. But first, let me do this. I want my panelists just to give me something from yesterday in review. So first, off to my left, Lois Fisk.
Hi, Bill. Great to be back and great to be further discussing Dennis Quaid and his career and what he's done in the past and what he's doing right now. And when you ask me these things, Bill, I don't know. I think he's – when it says box office reliable, but he's not a huge box office reliable star, but he's still box office reliable in my books. People go to see some of the movies he does. I think of some of the movies he's done has had a really broad audience, Bill. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking of two in particular, and that's The Parent Trap, which he starred with the late Natasha Richardson, and also Dragonheart. So you had people in the movie theater from about six to about 86 years old seeing those two movies.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's a great example of some of those things that do have broad appeal, some of those movies.
And really recent, I know quite a few people saw it here, is Soul Surfer. That's another one that seemed to have a very broad audience.
Okay. All right. Brian Hagerle is also here.
Hi, Bill. Hi, listeners. Yeah, I really enjoyed yesterday learning again about Dennis Quaid's start, his early career, and how he went through these ups and downs. And boy, you know, it's interesting. Each movie, like Lois said yesterday, his characters are so unique, so different. And I think today we're going to learn a little bit more about that, too, the kind of unique character that he's challenging himself to tackle.
Yeah. Okay. So, and that's actually part of why he did take this role in the movie At Any Price, and he basically did it for free. He said near the end of our reading yesterday, and we talked a little bit about that at the end of the program, why do actors or actresses take these roles? And they will do movies for a small independent production company. They won't get paid much, often because they feel that they have been typecast in their career in certain roles, and they want to break free from that. For instance, an example I was thinking of from yesterday in this would be Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks is always known as the nice guy in his movies, and one of the things that he has yearned for is to play something a little bit meatier, maybe even a villain. Almost, just to mix things up, because while he does enjoy his career and he's had great success, all actors are looking for something a little bit different. So Tom Hanks would like to – probably also would take a role for almost no money just to be the bad guy.
That's right, Bill. And if you ever watch these television programs that interview these box office hit stars or almost box office hit stars, they'll always tell you it's fun to play the villain or maybe the mean girl, that they actually get their teeth into that role.
Yeah. Another trap people get into is maybe they become known for comedy. And then they can't break free from that. And so that really limits their career because they're never considered for serious dramatic roles. And so there's a lot of reasons people will do things for free. Now, what does that mean for us? What does that mean for our listeners? Well, consider yourself an actor in your life, and maybe you need to do something for almost free if you want to change the role that you're playing. And you might have to take a chance and go do something for no pay, just to step outside of what you have done all your life, and maybe you could change the course of your life.
Yeah, I'm thinking of that in my future. I know we're supposed to only think one day at a time, but I'd actually like to work in a plant nursery. And if I want to do that and learn as much as I can about plants and flowers, I think I'm going to have to start off doing it almost for free, Bill.
Yeah, well, and you can do it. And if you enjoy it, if it's what you want to do, then you'll do it. Okay, let's do this. Let's get into our readings for today. Turn to page 21. We'll split our reading up into two sections, the left and right column. So let's have the left column right now.
Playing an unsympathetic role. Whipple's kind of broken, Quade says. The film, he says, courts expectations of one of those traditional save-the-farm films, the inspiring music, the family desperately trying to hang on to things. But the story starts to turn into dark corners you don't expect. Quade's agent proposed the idea of the actor putting his showboater's wiles to work on a tricky, potentially unsympathetic role. The back-slapping farmer and seller of genetically modified seed is hiding an awful lot behind an all-American can-do facade. Barani. He's played sleazy characters, but mainly we remember Dennis from The Right Stuff and The Rookie. I'd always liked him as an actor, and I thought he'd been underutilized. Barani and Quade spent 3 days together at Quade's place in Texas, talking history, politics, and cinema, the writer-director says. Then Quade said yes, he'd like to do the film. The director called his pal Werner Herzog and asked him a few questions about making movies with movie stars. Herzog, according to Barani, told him, "Ramin, he's a 30-year professional. He'll deliver when you turn the camera on."
Okay. We see here playing an unsympathetic role, and we are talking about the role that Dennis Quaid is playing here in the movie At Any Price. And he is actually playing a farmer, and the farmer's name is Henry Whipple, so that's where we pick up.
And we see here, Bill, that he's playing an unsympathetic role. So this Mr. Whipple, unsympathetic, meaning that instead of having sympathy for him, the audience may actually begin to despise him or have negative feelings for him.
Yeah. Quade says here in the beginning, Whipple's kind of broken. What's that mean?
Kind of broken means he's kind of in pieces as a person. Mm-hmm. His life isn't together. So the pieces are spread out instead of being together, Bill. So his life's a mess.
Yeah. Okay. He's not whole. He's not complete. He's probably going in a couple of different directions, has values that might be mixed up, and also is making some decisions that are not the best. So, and Dennis Quaid continues talking about the film, which he says...
He says it courts the expectations as being another one of those traditional Save the Farm films, which is quite funny. Courts here, meaning that it kind of sets up an expectation. It kind of lets the audience think that when they see this title and see the trailer maybe that this is going to be a movie about saving farms. But it's probably more about this role of Mr. Whipple that he's playing, the unsympathetic character.
Yeah. Okay. Now, first off, we have this expectation then. What, save the farm film. What are we talking about?
Well, in the 80s, maybe even in the 90s, you know, there were a lot of demonstrations, a lot of efforts to save farms because farmers were not getting the money, and so their families were struggling to survive. So there were a lot of movies made about that drama, saving farms.
A lot of Willie Nelson songs, don't we all remember?
Yeah. Well, of course, they had their concerts, Farm Aid, and I'm thinking Save the Farm films. The one that comes to mind is Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner in it, where he builds the baseball field out in a cornfield. That is the prototypical Save the Farm movie, and it inspired other movies similar to it, heroic stories, inspiring music. Of course, they would have these grand scores by John Williams and other famous musicians and inspiring everybody, the family desperately trying to hang on to things.
And usually fabulous cinematography too, Bill, if you remember.
Yeah. So the American conscience is set up to expect this when it sees another farm film. But as we see in line 11...
Yes, it says, but the story starts to turn into dark corners you don't expect. Goodness gracious, I hope it's not a horror film.
Okay, well, it's not a horror film, but when we turn into dark corners, we're meaning that it's going to examine some less than admirable qualities in human beings. And it goes into areas where, wow, people lie and they cheat. And they steal, and they're not always honest. And so that's what that is talking about right there. So this is not a feel-good movie. All right. Now, we move into here. Dennis Quaid's agent, the person that represents him, proposed what?
Well, it sounds like Mr. Quaid's agent proposed this idea of taking on the character of Mr. Whipple because it would give Quaid a chance to use his showboater's wiles to work on this potentially unsympathetic role. A lot of new words there. Showboater, showboater meaning somebody who's kind of showing off in a sense, somebody who's very skilled, but they're making it clear to other people that they are very skilled. So maybe it comes off as arrogant.
Yeah, we can all think of people like that in our lives. I know I can.
Well, sure. A lot of times we might see it in sports or we might see it in the NBA or the NFL. Maybe a basketball player has some great plays, but maybe is a little exaggerated in what they might do. And then after they make a dunk, they're pumping their chest and they're pointing at their opponent. And that's showboating. Mm-hmm. Now, wiles are just simply another way of saying our skills and our abilities. So the agent is saying, well, Dennis has got these skills. He can really put on a good show. And why doesn't he take this and take all of these talents and work on this tricky and potentially unsympathetic role? It is a tricky role to play. Not everybody can play an unsympathetic character and do it well and be convincing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, we actually get a description here of the guy he plays, the Whipple
role,
right?
Yeah, we do, Bill. We do. It says at the end of line 15 there, Bill, the backslapping farmer and seller of genetically modified seed is hiding an awful lot behind an all-American can-do facade. So this is... quite the role. Well, right away, I wouldn't like him right away because I don't like backslapping.
What's that mean?
Oh, it's kind of like, yeah, you're enjoying this, right, Lois? Bang on your back.
Yeah.
And I've never, ever liked that. And sometimes it's done to females as well. It's more male to male. But
somebody who's too friendly.
Yeah, they're too
friendly. The salesperson
who's too
friendly.
I call them too familiar.
Yeah.
And they don't know me, and now they're being too familiar, Bill.
Yeah. We often will use this to say, like, the car salesman who's too friendly walks up to you, has seen you maybe one time for 5 minutes, and acts like your best friend.
Right.
The backslapping person. In this case, we're saying the role, the farmer is backslapping. Hey, how are you doing? Great to see you. And he's also selling a questionable product here, genetically modified seed, which has been very controversial because it might cause some problems with human beings and livestock. But he's also hiding a lot behind this all-American can-do facade.
That's right. All American can-do facade. Can-do meaning I can do anything kind of attitude. And facade is another word for mask. And I think the all-American here kind of comes in too because he's in Iowa. And I've lived in Iowa and Illinois. And you get that real all-American farmer feel. There's a lot of flags when you go down the highway. There's a lot of U.S. flags. And just people feel real patriotic in that part of America.
Can do, the facade almost being like, I don't need anybody's help.
Yeah.
I'm strong. I can do it. And yeah, just hang with me and we'll, yeah. I'll make it happen no matter what, right? But when we say a facade, though, is that's not real.
It's not real. You know, I often think of a facade sometimes when I go to towns in North America that look kind of like the old West, okay?
Yeah.
So you have a front of a store, and it looks like it really was there 200 or 300 years ago, and then you go around the corner and you go, oh, it's just a normal brick building.
Yeah. Well, often we might say, like, even a Hollywood set, it has a lot of facades. The buildings, they look like buildings up front, but you go behind them, but there's not really that much there behind them. So, all right. Now, we hear from the director of this movie, and that is Ramin Bahrani. And what does he say?
He says that people do remember some of his sleazy characters that he's played in the past. Sleazy meaning morally bad or low in quality. Maybe in this case, that would fit in with Mr. Whipple, who's this kind of broken character. But for the most part, as Bahrani says, most of us remember Dennis Quaid from these kind of uplifting movies like The Right Stuff and The Rookie.
Yeah. So that's why this film might be quite a shock to people, because we're used to him being the good guy in these movies. Ramin Bahrani has always liked him in these roles. However, he says something really interesting there in line 22.
Yeah, he says, and I thought he'd been underutilized. So in this case, Bill, underutilized, you can be underutilized in your workplace too. So you're not being used to the ability you're capable of doing or all the skills you might hold.
Right.
And that would definitely be how I would describe Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
I think he's a much better actor than he gets credit for. He just hasn't been given the proper roles.
Yeah, yeah, just limited. We have a term in English called pigeonholed. And so think of the word pigeon, the bird, P-I-G-E-O-N, and then it's also hold. It's all one word, H-O-L-E-D, pigeonholed. When you are pigeonholed, you just become boxed in and limited by certain roles, and people will not let you use broader skills. But Ramin Bahrani wants to do that. And then we talk about this communications that they have here in the next paragraph. Bahrani went down to Quaid's place in Texas, and what did they talk about?
Well, they spent 3 entire days together at Quaid's place in Texas talking about a lot of things, history, politics, and cinema. So they're kind of getting to know each other, getting comfortable with each other, and it's kind of interesting to see how professionals in this field, how they do communicate, Bill, that
yeah.
before a project starts, they spend a lot of time getting to know each other.
Yeah, they do have a lot of communications, especially the director and the lead actor. It's very important that those two are on the same page. They will set the tone for the movie, and if they can set the tone on the set of being in agreement, that will impact the entire crew at a film shoot. The director then wanted to check things out about this guy and said he called a friend of his, another fellow director, Werner Herzog, who has been a longtime director, and Ramin Bahrani asked him a few questions about making movies with stars. And what did Werner Herzog have to say about Dennis Quaid?
Well, he said he's a 30-year professional. He'll deliver when you turn the camera on. So in this case, when it says he'll deliver, he'll give you the goods to achieve or produce something that has been promised.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to do that. He'll give you the goods. He'll give you his acting goods.
Yeah.
That's his skill. That's what he's trained in. He's a good to coming up great actor, I believe.
You'll be satisfied with his performance.
Yeah.
All right. Let's have our final reading of this article.
Dreams Realized. When he was co-star Efron's age, Quaid met with Breaking Away director Peter Yates, who persuaded him to join Yates' cast. That was my first big break, Quaid says. That's where I went from going from job to job to getting offers. Yates, he says, taught him how to act for the camera. Even today, Quaid acknowledges, I need to be scaled back sometimes, to do it smaller. Sometimes when I think I'm doing nothing, that's the one. That's the take they use. It's about being still, just being in the frame. Dennis's favorite film experience remains The Right Stuff. It's really something, he says with that grin, to dream about getting something, about playing someone like Gordo Cooper and actually getting it.
Okay, Bill Quinn here with Lois Fisk and Brian Hagerla, and we are on our last section of Dennis Quaid, Rookie No More. It's the right column on page 21, Dreams Realized, and we are talking about this movie, At Any Price, where Dennis Quaid plays a farmer, and then he's also got a family here, and one of the people who stars in the film is a young actor, Zac Efron.
That's right, Zac Efron. And you can see him in the picture here on the bottom of page 21 in the cast shot there. He's the young man on the far left there, Zac Efron, very popular right now. Mm-hmm. And Quaid remembers him thinking back to his own first start in the movies when he met the director of Breaking Away, Peter Yates, who persuaded him to join the cast and give him his first big break.
Right, and talking about the ages here, Zac Efron, 25 years old, and Quaid thinking back early to his career when he was at that point in his career, mid-20s, and Lois had talked about Breaking Away, this movie about bicycling, and Peter Yates had convinced Dennis Quaid to join the cast, and it was... This was a real breakthrough for him.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It was. It says that Quaid met with Breaking Away director Peter Yates, and as he says, that was my first big break. Quaid mm-hmm. says that's where I went from going from job to getting offers. That makes a difference for an actor.
Right.
It's no longer maybe pounding on everybody else's door and hitting the pavement.
Well, I had mentioned yesterday that he started in Hollywood in 1977, and so this Breaking Away was made in 1979. So he did spend a couple of years on some movies having bit roles, we might say, smaller roles. But you've got to go through all of the auditioning, and you've got to go through all sorts of things just to get small roles. But here, now all of a sudden, instead of chasing jobs, people were chasing Dennis Quaid after starring in Breaking Away. Not only did Peter Yates give him a break, but Yates also did what?
It says he taught him how to act for the camera.
Hmm.
And Quaid obviously acknowledges this.
Okay.
I need to be scaled back sometimes to do it smaller. So maybe he seems too powerful sometimes in the role. He's maybe not suiting the role as well as he could, and a great director will tell him, okay, this is really what I need.
What's he getting at here?
He's getting at doing less sometimes is more in the movies. It's a lot different than acting on the stage,
right?
Like what Lois is saying. So it's interesting, right? He says sometimes when he thinks he's doing nothing, that's the time when they can actually use the shot that he's in, and the frame is actually the whole scene or the whole shot of the camera there. And I think it's a good example here on the bottom of page 21 where you see his expression there, and he's just in that moment. He's got that expression. He's not overacting per se,
right,
but a very good example of camera acting.
Yeah, it's just a matter of being normal, being natural. Look at your own videos that maybe you post on YouTube or on Facebook. We, even when we are in front of the video camera, we overact. We carry on and we act silly. And actually, in movies and in good TV, it works better if the actors are just very normal and if they are not overexpressing themselves. And like you said, Brian, that picture there in the bottom of the left column there on page 21, where he's just sitting there with kind of a frown, it says a lot. This is not a happy guy. and he's going through some trouble right there. Mm-hmm. So, and or the picture there, At Any Price, the picture in the bottom of the right column where he's kissing his wife here, then it looks very natural too. It's not overacting. So that's what that paragraph is talking about. That's what a veteran actor does, learn how not to overact. Well, what about his own personal favorites?
We're told here it's personal favorite is The Right Stuff. It's Really Something, he says, with that grin. To dream about getting something, about playing someone like Gordon Cooper and actually getting it. So you've been dreaming this. This is
right.
This is the role you want to play at that
right.
stage in your life or at that age.
Sure.
And you get it.
Well, I would, you know, just think of all the great people that you might be able to portray in films. Maybe for an Asian actor to get a role to say, okay, we want you to play Ma Yo-Yo. Well, that would just be quite a coup for any young actor to play in that role. Or maybe think of a young actor here in Taipei, and they say, we're making a movie about Jeremy Lin. We want you to be Jeremy Lin in high school and college. Now, before we move into our sidebars, I just do want to mention, you see in line 16, it says Gordo Cooper. That Dennis Quaid calls him Gordo, not Gordon, which is his official name. Gordo is a nickname for that astronaut. So that's what he was known by with his fellow astronauts. Now, the sidebars, the first sidebar let's take a look at is the top of the left column on page 21, doing what he loves most. And he says it's great to get paid for what you love doing most, to enjoy your work and to follow that. It's important. He pauses, then says it again, as if reminding himself casually, but not cavalierly. It's important, not cavalierly.
He's not over-exaggerating, or he's not being arrogant about it. He's just being very sincere about it when he says it's important.
Okay, the sidebars on page 20. First one says, comparisons to Arthur Miller's famous character. The director, Ramin Barani, describes Whipple, the character that Dennis Quaid plays in the movie, Henry Whipple, as Willie Loman in a cornfield, a monstrously conflicted soul with elements of playwright Arthur Miller's Death of a Salesman protagonist. Now, Lois, are you familiar with The Death of a Salesman?
Sure. I sure am. It was grade 9 required reading.
Yep.
So I can totally remember it, and I can totally remember Death of a Salesman is going to be Death of Depression for me, because
right.
it felt like the depth of depression I had entered reading that book. I found it
right.
a really tough read just because it was kind of sad. And
it was a sad book, but I highly recommend that to our advanced listeners. If you have a chance, read Death of a Salesman by Arthur Miller. It is a classic. And then finally, acting runs in the family. Dennis Quaid's older son, Jack, is an actor recently appearing in The Hunger Games. We just had an article about Jennifer Lawrence last month. So Dennis Quaid notes that his son declined his father's offer to help him land an agent. I love this. The son says, no, I'm going to try and do this on my own. So the son went out and got his own agent. Listeners, thanks for joining us for this very interesting article, Dennis Quaid, Rookie No More. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill.
Lois.
Brian.
Saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.